Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Fly ball sliced to fairly deep left center field. Debo White back to the track, the wall, makes the leap, and the old man is down. One more time, fly away.
Run truck, yes, yeah.
3-0 pitches hit deep into left center field, and Bishop will look up, and father and son have hit back-to-back home runs. My, oh, my, etch that in your baseball history book.
Little history made here last night at the Big A with father and son going back-to-back. Experience in youth, it's always an argument over which is more valuable, the strength of youth or the experience of the veteran player. Which one came through last night, Junior?
Mine.
But whose went farther?
Mine.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Father and son hitting back-to-back home runs in the same ballgame and talking about it is just about perfect. To start us off on Father's Day here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score, it's me, Matt Spiegel, here with you. Let's hang out today. Let's hang out this morning. The show will serve a couple of purposes. One, I will tell you what I think about the state of negotiations with facts and context and stuff like that. But two, we're going to remind ourselves what it's about, what the game is about and why we love it. And you could say that those two things, those two purposes, have been part of the show all year long with no baseball since the middle of March. And I've enjoyed doing the show with you, for you, to you, about you all year long. But today we get a little bit of extra. On the first front, in terms of talking about the negotiations with facts and context, yep, it's ugly. And it's ugly because of the pandemic that threatens all of sports. So, guafi, given uncertainty about future infection. But on the second front, in terms of reminding ourselves what the show is about, why we love the game, we do that today with our father and son stories mixed in. I want to hear your stories. Text them in. Call with them. I want to hear your stories of your fathers or your sons, how baseball has played a role in your lives. And this stuff will help our listeners to hear. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. People need to hear this stuff. And I want to go ahead and give this show most of that focus. And we will with several guests along the way. And I'm looking forward to talking to all of them. But I want to hear from you guys. So 312-644-6767. That's the call. Or to text. My story about my dad and baseball, maybe you've heard before. You'll hear it at 10. My dad is my favorite guest on any radio show ever. And he's going to come on the show today at 10 o'clock. He is 87 and sharp as a tack. That's my dude. He is the archetypal baseball fan of my entire life. And I've got a special surprise for him at 10 o'clock that he doesn't even know about. My guys, Danny Parkins, Chris Tannehill, Nick Shepkowski, surprised me the other day with my dad on Friday as we kicked off a Father's Day weekend. That was a pleasure. But guess what? Double booking my dad. That's how good he is as a guest. Damn it. So he's coming on later on. Ozzie Guillen Jr. is going to come on. I want to hear about life as the son of Ozzie Guillen. Because we've heard some people talk about Ozzie, much more warm, funny, cuddly, said Scott Rudinsky on this show, than we know. It's Scott Rudinsky part of that family. But looking forward to talking to Ozzie Jr. about the good and the bad and the impactful of growing up a son in the midst of Major League Baseball. Lawrence Holmes is going to join us at 11 o'clock to talk about a variety of things, not the least of which is this moment in our city's history and our country's history, and some things that I've learned recently that I can't believe I did not know. We'll talk about that. I didn't know about Tulsa. I didn't know about Rosewood. And now I do, and I think it's insane that I didn't know about it. And I'm not talking about a rally that took place last night in Tulsa. I'm talking about the much more important and sad historical chapter from about 100 years ago in Tulsa. And we'll also talk some baseball with Lawrence, as I always love to do. And along the way, you're going to hear from some past guests on Hit and Run, folks who have talked about their dads. You'll hear a terrific story from a current media member, former center fielder, coming up at the end of this segment. But along the way, hop on in and let's talk. 312-644-6767. That's the number to both call and to text. Also going to be peppering you with facts along the way. Apropos of what we just mentioned, do you know the first African-American father-son combination was in baseball? Let me give you a moment to think about it. Who was the first African-American father-son combination in baseball? They became a father-son-grandson story, one of the few three-generation stories out there. It's the Hairstons. Sammy Hairston was first, then Jerry Hairston, and Jerry Jr., and then Scott Hairston. So on and on it goes with the Hairstons. One father-son duo has each hit 50 home runs in a season. Do you know who it is? Texters, I'm looking for you at 312-644-6767. You know, it's a one father-son duo with 50 homers in a year. Sean, if you've got a guess, feel free to hop on in. You're welcome to.
My first instinct would be say Griffey, but Griffey Sr. wasn't a power hitter. So
no, he was not.
I would then have to go to the Bonzes, but I don't think Bobby was hitting 50 home runs.
Bobby was not hitting 50 home runs. But both of those are answers to other questions. The Griffeys have the most combined hits of any father and son, even more than Pete Rose and Pete Rose Jr. Pete Rose Jr. batted 14 times, I believe, in the big, struck out, I think, 9 times. But Dad had, you know, what, 4,300, whatever it was? But that's still not more than Griffey Sr. and Jr. put together. The Bonzes have the highest combined career wins above replacement. They are the best in terms of the quality of the father and the quality of the son. Bobby Bonds' career was really, really good. But no, it is the Fielders, Cecil Fielder and Prince Fielder. Not a happy father and son relationship. But still, the two of them each hit 50 home runs in a season. One more for you. The most combined career strikeouts of any father and his son. He actually had two sons. All three of them are pitchers. Good job on the texters finally getting in with the Fielders. Proves that I may need to pause a little more and let these texts come in. So I'll pause after this one. Most combined career strikeouts by a father and two sons, all three of which were pitchers. 312-644-6767. I got a few of these that we'll mix throughout the show. I want to hear your stories of your fathers, how baseball has played a role in your lives. These will be helpful for people to hear. You'll hear about me at 10. My wife loves Wrigley with all her heart and soul. and it is an emotional place for her. It is one of the homes for her, and that is because of her father. Because her pop, her papa, and I will see him later today, Frank or Poncho, he made a point on Sundays when he would get to hang out with his two daughters. He made a point very often to bring them to Wrigley Field and have them in the bleachers. And he would be there, I think usually shirtless, as he still rocks. Still rocking the shirtlessness at what, 80, 83? 82. Still rocking the shirtlessness with impressive physique and skin tone at 82. But I can only imagine him rocking it then. In the bleachers as his daughters hung out, watched the game. And now for both of them, and I know certainly for my wife, it is one of the happiest places on earth. Number one, she says. That's why it's why we had our wedding reception there. It's why when we get a chance to go there, she's just over the moon. And it pleases me to be able to have those moments there. And that feeling and connectivity to the ballpark is special. And when you're in the business and every once in a while you have one of those moments, you're like, man, I see how the sausage is made and I don't like it. Or you're having one of those moments now where you're looking at the ugliness of the negotiation moment. You can step back and remember. Thankfully, my wife is part of helping me step back and remember. To the texters who finally nailed it, yes. It is Mel Stottlemyre and his sons Todd and Mel Jr. who combined have the most strikeouts of any father and son combination. Mel Stottlemyre, for a long time, a pitching coach in the big leagues. And Todd had a better career than you think. So, yes. Well done. Lots of fathers and sons to discuss. How about this? I have two former Cub outfielders, okay? Two former Cub outfielders who both played for their manager fathers for the first three seasons of their career. You can think about that. Two former Cub outfielders who both played for their manager fathers for the first three full seasons of their career. Maybe not both with the Cubs. In fact, neither with the Cubs, but they did end up playing for the Cubs. You can think about that. In the meantime, let's listen to one of my favorite father-son baseball stories from our year so far. Doug Glanville on Hit and Run, about 3 weeks ago, a month ago? This was during, I guess it was about a month, because it was during The Last Dance. And Doug has tremendous Michael Jordan stories. Played basketball with him, played baseball with him, and more. But he told this story about his father and about the one moment in his baseball life where he said that he felt like he was Michael Jordan. And we talked to him on May 17th about the time he felt the most like Michael Jordan, which led to this powerful story about his dad.
About it, and you saw it in his world. Well, you know, Jordan talked a lot about it, and you saw it in his world of how he could will himself, right, seemingly, in these scenarios. And basketball is so different than baseball. You know, baseball, we have, you know, these 162 games. It's, you know, you're trying to pace yourself. You're trying to – so it's hard to be that Jordan mindset every day. And when I played against Jordan that year, I remember him telling our third baseman that he's like, man, I've never been this tired in my entire life after he played like 100 straight games in a row. So that was a great nod to baseball, that the mental wear down is so severe. It's not the physical demands quite the same. So for me personally, I tried to parallel some moment where I felt Jordan-esque. And The moment I could only come up with was the last game of the 2002 season. I had 998 hits. And it was, you know, the end of the year, and we're definitely out of it. We're in Florida against the Marlins. And my dad had been sick for 3 years, and this is year three. So I knew from my last visit that this was kind of the beginning of the end. He had strokes, he had cancer, and I'd, you know, been driving up to ERs from up into Jersey from Philly, like, for years at that point. So he's gravely ill, and he's in a hospital in Jersey. And I have 998 hits, and there's one game left in the season, and Carl Pavano's on the mound. And there was a lot of battle, the three-game series, because I had 996, I think, going into that three-game series. And Larry Bowa was my manager, and he wasn't playing me. And finally, the PR rep, Lee Tobin, said, look, you need to play him. We're not going anywhere. He can get 1,000 hits this weekend. So he sat me the first day, and if there's divine intervention, Pat Burrell, in the second game, gets hurt sliding into home plate, and I have to go in for him, and I get 2 hits. So I have 998 now. Last game, Pavano's on the mound, and I woke up and I said, there's no way Carl Pavano is getting me out today. It's like, and I'd never, you know, said that in such a deep belief and faith than ever in my career. I felt confident. I played well. I had good years. But I was like, there's no way this guy is getting me out. And so I got a hit in the first 3 at-bats. I was 3 for 3, got my 1,000th hit. And my dad passed away at 7:15 p.m. that night when the game ended, literally as I walked off the field. And so I buried him with that baseball, 1,000th hit, and I put it in his casket. So that's Jordan on a day-to-day basis. So it's unfathomable, the drain and the energy it took. So his mind needs to be like in the Hall of Fame just on its own, his spirit of competition. But I just could not. It made me feel, watching The Last Dance, I go, wow, I could have been a lot better, I guess. I mean, I had a good career, but I mean, that's what I come away. So I can only relate to that moment when I was facing life and death with my own family. That's how serious it was.
So that began as a Jordan story, but ends up being a fatherhood story. And, you know, I just realized why I love that so much, and that's because Doug Glanville is as smart as they come, as understanding as they come about the science of the game, the analytics of the game, and all of the logic of the game. But in that moment, he found out for sure, and clearly still believes, that there is the possibility of motivation to make you personally better than you are, which is something I've always believed and have had to stand up for, unbelievably, in baseball conversations. And also that there's maybe some magic out there, right? There's the possibility of some magic out there. That your dad can be with you on a day like that. That you can get some final excellence out of yourself on a day like that. Man. I think it's part of what I've been seeking from the game and its conversations and its details and its stories forever. Some kind of confirmation of the belief in magic to go along with the science. Powerful stuff. All right, I asked my trivia question. The two former Cub outfielders, both of whom played for their manager fathers for the first 3 seasons of their career. Brian McCray as a member of the Royals, and Moises Alou as the member of the Expos for Hal and Felipe, respectively. Both of them later Cubs, not with their manager fathers. Good guess by the guy who wrote Gary Matthews Jr., but no. It is McCray and Alou. We'll be taking your phone calls all morning long right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Here's Matt in Villa Park this morning. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning, Speaks. How you doing?
Very good.
So one of the first games I remember going to as a kid, it was late in the year Dawson won the MVP and hit 49 home runs. It was a meaningless game. Might have even been the last game of the year against the Cardinals. And game started to get late, and I remember Dawson came up to bat. My dad just leans over me out of nowhere and goes, you know, he hits this out, this is going nuts. So, sure enough, he hit a home run, and I was an idiot enough to be sold on being a Cub fan the rest of my life from that moment. So, it carries on, because now I get more of a kick. I sit there and watch my grown son, you know, argue with my dad about war and who's better, Mike Trout or Mickey Mantle. So...
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that very much. Mickey Mantle was better, just because he played longer at this point. All Trout really needs is a few years, probably, and people will start talking about that. your conversation appreciated. We will mix in the negotiating context of the moment. One of the better baseball writers out there, I think, penned a perfect piece on what Rob Manfred should be saying to owners on a day like today. Our Bruce Levine will join us at about 9:40. My pops at the top of the hour. Your phone calls and texts with your Father's Day stories regarding baseball are welcome and necessary for the completion of the broadcast. You'll hear from Joe Buck, hear from Carlos Pena along the way, some of my favorite guests who talked about their dad and for parenting. You'll hear them today on Hit and Run, right here on 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Long drive left field. McDowell has just hit a two-run home run. A fist pump around first base. A very bittersweet moment for sure. John McDowell on Father's Day hits a two-run home run. He just lost his father, Jack, this past week.
Wow. I got goosebumps thinking about that. That is awesome.
That is awesome. Good job, Sean Anderson, pulling that from out of the archives. A John McDonald home run for the Blue Jays. When's that, 2016? Is that when that is?
2010.
Oh, my God.
They're wearing the old jerseys, too, before they got a new rebrand, bringing back the 80s style, the old ugly Vernon Wells ones.
Vernon Wells, a name I did not expect to hear today. That is tremendous. The first third-generation family to play in MLB. Who is it? Who is the first three-generation family to play in Major League Baseball? Sean, you know, you might know. Should we let the texters guess and think about it?
I'll let the texters guess because I don't think I'll get that one.
You don't think you'll get that one?
Third generation?
Third generation. There was a father, then he had a son, and then that son had another son. Two of them.
When did the two sons come in?
The two sons came in, I think both in the 90s, certainly one in the 90s and one in the aughts.
Okay, my original guess was the Boones, so that kind of fits it.
That is correct.
Nice.
It is Bob Boone, his sons Aaron and Brett, and before that, is it Gus Boone? No, Gus Bell, because that's the other one I always think of is Gus Bell. Buddy Bell, and then David Bell. But the Boones, who's the oldest Boone? I'll have to remember. Not Gus. It should be, though, because Gus feels really, really right. Ed Boone? I don't know. I can't remember now. How dare you, Speaks, not remember the Boones. I remember most of the Boones.
But Ray Boone.
Ray, thank you. Thank you. Oh, and Texture's got it as well. There's so many of them. There's way more than you might remember and realize. It's crazy. I think is there more than 200? I want to say, yeah. The total of fathers and sons who have played, 240. 240 different fathers and sons who have played in MLB. We'll share more trivia and more thoughts on stuff along the way. All right, so Buster Olney wrote a piece today on what the commissioner should be saying to the 30 owners that he deals with. And it's really worth a read. I'll tweet it out later on. But I can share with you some of the basics. And most important is the tone. He puts himself in Rob Manfred's position and talks to the owners. He mixes in the sugar with the salt, as you must with sensitive billionaires, it seems, like this. The larger point that Buster tries to make, that I think we've all tried to make in recent weeks with an alarming level of frustration, is that you have to make a deal. Think of everyone. Think of everyone. But he says, look, you're not as bad as they say you are, which is an important point to make sure they understand. That, in Buster's words, quote, you have been painted with that broader stereotype of inhumanity at a time when our country is most in need of humanity, grace, and charity. Buster does give some details in there of the graciousness that so many owners actually have shown. They have. Whether it is the learners who decided to eventually step up. It's really the Royals, John Sherman, who has been a leader and paid all of their minor leaguers and done much more in the community. And they apparently won out, by the way, on some unrestricted, undrafted free agents who decided to go to the Royals because of the way they've seen them treat their employees. Chris Illich of the Tigers is pointed out. The Padres owners, Peter Seidler, Ron Fowler, some of the things that they have done. But he mixes in other stories. Artie Moreno. Artie Moreno cut $180,000 in salaries of Angels employees in the Dominican Republic. And that money in the Dominican, for an employee in the Dominican, goes so far. That is such a preposterous place and an angle to cut when you are Artie Moreno. Albert Pujols stepped in, and he decided to make those payments. Your own employee, your own player steps in. You realize what you look like. So you're not as bad as they say you are, but there is some bad. Step in there. Buster speaks from Rob Manfred's perspective and says that he should tell the owners, look, I work for everyone. Think of everyone. This has been one of my biggest frustrations with Rob Manfred. I feel like his job is to control the message and the unity from the 30 owners and get them what they want. Of course, those are two different things right there. To control the message, control the unity. He has not done that. Randy Levine talking to Bob Nightingale in detail about what he thinks Rob Manfred should do. Don't let him talk, Rob. You're supposed to be the voice here. But it's also the commissioner's job to control the talks, to deal with both sides, and to think of everyone. And Buster talks about how Rob Manfred must get that across. My title is Commissioner of Major League Baseball, and I work for you, but I do have a responsibility to those people who work within this industry, to do what I can to foster the business upon which we all rely. I need to stand up for them. Because there's a lot of people in there, a lot of employees of a lot of organizations who are living in fear right now and are deeply saddened and concerned. So to keep the game moving forward, Buster writes, you need to do everything you can to keep this game moving forward, to keep your staffers, many of them lifers, who are the heart and soul of your organization in this game. Think about it. It's about more than you. And make a deal. The damage from all that will manifest, the damage from all of this will manifest long-term and short-term, writes Buster Olney. This winter, for example, when you try to sell tickets to those same people who have been waiting for their 2020 season ticket refunds. There's a way to talk about this and try to make some sense to the owners about making a deal, because the latest, as it stands, is distressing that the owners and Rob Manfred say, we're just going to institute or implement the 48-game season. Then he flies out there and talks to Tony Clark. They make the framework of an agreement for a 60-game season. They think they have a deal. They don't have a deal. The players come back and say 70, and the owners now have said they're not even going to respond to the 70 offer. Not even going to respond. Yes, there are a couple other things mixed in there that need to be discussed and figured out, but they're throwing up their hands and backing away. And now part of that is because of all the virus tests that have gone on, all the positive tests that have gone on, and the specter that that puts over everything. And I understand that. And that's deeply unfortunate. And so maybe it makes sense to just kind of pull back and look at the whole thing and wonder whether you can even pull this off or not. But make a deal. 64 games, 66 games, like Jason Stark brought up, because of the mathematical sense that it can make, this the scheduling sense that it can make. Make a deal. And then everybody can figure out whether this is actually possible or not, because it might not be possible. And we're all aware of that. But make a deal. It just looks awful. So that's part of what we're doing today, is to remind you of the context and the information and where it stands. Our own Bruce Levine will join us in a few minutes to talk about the latest of what's going on with MLB negotiations and the possibilities, or perhaps lack thereof. My dad at the top of the hour. One of the guests we've had a chance to talk to this year, Jason Hamill, the former Cub, really enjoyed him. And I asked him if his son likes baseball. We talked about that and I certainly have been thinking about it as my own father with my own son, because I've got my issues on this front. But here's Jason Hamill's answer to that question.
To be truthfully honest, no, yeah. He doesn't. He watched so many games from the stands, and that was kind of one of the reasons why I ended up walking away. You know, I felt physically great when I retired in 18 and or 19, I guess, but the, arm felt great, and mentally I was still checked in. But you know, seeing the damage done at home with mom being single mom for 8 years, following me around, being my cheerleader, and the kids were not necessarily as excited. They always had fun going to the ballpark and watching the games, but it wasn't like a desirable thing for them to do. They wanted that summer. They wanted to go hang out with their cousins and friends and be in the pool and stuff. And you could still do that during the day, but I wasn't there with them, and they wanted me there. So it kind of forced my hand, and you know, I was able to have a good spring with the Rangers and great organization to give me a chance, but it just wasn't going to be worth the time and the effort again to keep going on, you know, as much mm-hmm. as I wanted to. Just one of those life decisions that you have to face at some point, and you know, I don't regret it, and you know, it's been fun being home, but I also didn't plan on my retirement starting with a pandemic either, so it's been weird, to say the least.
Jason Hamill talking about his kids who don't really love to watch baseball, because I had mentioned to him that my son doesn't love to watch baseball. If only I could get my son on the line, Sean. I know it's difficult. If only I could find him and track him down.
I'm right here.
Oh, there you are. Hi, buddy.
Hey.
Ruben, do you like watching baseball with me?
A little.
Just a little, though, right? It's okay to say no.
Not really.
Why not?
Because to me, like, when they play, it kind of feels like they're kind of bragging and showing people, but they're not bragging, but it just still feels like it to me.
It looks like they're showing off, like, how good I am and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What if they are really good at it, though?
They are. You can see that when you watch it.
Like, if you play something, if you're really good at piano for a moment... Right?
Yeah.
Don't you feel good? Do you end up kind of feeling good about yourself? Cause
yeah,
if you...
yeah.
Yeah, right?
The piano's over there.
I know. People can't see. But yeah, the piano's over there. Do you like playing baseball?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe you'll like watching it at some point.
Some point.
Okay.
But I'm your age, probably.
So just to be clear, though, because I've been thinking that maybe you don't like watching it just because I like watching it so
not
much.
True.
Is that true?
No.
That's not true?
No.
Okay. So it's not just to make me, not just to like push back a little bit on Daddy.
No.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Okay. We'll talk about it throughout the years, maybe in therapy later on. Thank you very much, Ruben. That's Ruben Ford Spiegel. We'll talk to Herb Spiegel at the top of the hour. It's Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us next for the very latest, and I want to ask him about his dad, because I know there's plenty of good baseball history there. Happy Father's Day from 670 The Score.
It's just a disaster for our game. Absolutely no question about it. It shouldn't be happening. And it's important that we find a way to get past it and get the game back on the field for the benefit of our fans.
That's where our game, and I say our because I love it so much. Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It is Hit and Run. Inside the Clubhouse airs Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 on The Score. I'm usually on it. I have not been the past couple of weeks, and Zach Zaidman has stepped in and done a nice job with Bruce Levine, the Score's baseball insider, who joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Father's Day to you and everybody out there. It's a special day for dads, and I can't wait to get my polo shirt from my daughter, so I'm really... really waiting for that later on in the day.
You're banking on that? You know that's the item of choice?
Oh, it's always. I mean, they can't go wrong, you know?
That's tremendous. I had a great few minutes opening the gift this morning, a toaster oven. I got a toaster oven from my wife and child, which I think means like I'm officially, you know, a middle-aged dad.
That's, you know what? That's not your gift, okay?
But I'm the one who does all the cooking around here, and I've been openly saying I need a toaster oven.
All right, then Christine's right on that one, then. she got that right.
Yeah, you know, imagine the high quality of bagel I can provide next time you're here, Bruce Levine.
Well, it takes precision to toast a everything bagel properly.
And yes.
I know you have the wherewithal to get it done.
I do indeed. Before we talk about the ugliness of this baseball moment, your dad took you to games. It came up, I think, in the Memorial Day conversation that we had on Marquee a couple of weeks ago. But wasn't that your father who took you to that doubleheader that you were talking about?
My mom.
Oh, it was your mom?
My dad passed away when I was six. So he didn't get to have too many baseball moments with me, and my mom took over, and she was the most sensational person and mother-father combination that I was fortunate enough to have, and you know, doubleheaders, wrestling matches, the Liston Patterson fight at Comiskey Park,
wow,
Buddy Rogers versus Pat O'Connor wrestling match at Comiskey Park. You name it, I got to go, and it was all because of my mother. So she kind of filled both roles, but I do have some great memories of my dad. He was a great baseball fan, and it's a special day. It's, you know, it's one that gives you a little bit of pause, but I was fortunate enough to have great parents.
Forgive me for misremembering it like that. So your dad was a baseball fan as in terms of did he leave stuff around? Was there vestiges of his baseball passion?
No, I mean, he was a Cub fan growing up, and he grew up in that era. I mean, he was an older dad. I think he was in his late 41 when I was born. So he was a Cub fan from the early part of the century. He was born in 1906, and his first recollections that he talked about were the 15 to 20 to 30 teams, you know, the 29, 32 Cubs who went to the World Series, 38 Cubs, 45 Cubs. So those were his teams back in the day.
Oh, very cool. Well, thank you, Bruce, and condolences from long ago, but I'm sure it still rings around in there, perhaps, on a Father's Day. But now you're the dad. Now you're the dad, and your polo shirt is coming.
I am. I certainly hope so. You know, I passed on the sports loving gene to my daughter, and she's a fan of all the teams in town. Likes to go rather than watch on TV very much. She prefers to be at the ballpark or in the stadium, and she has been fortunate enough to have been at some special moments like World Series and NBA Finals, and I feel very good about all that.
Yeah, that's awesome when you can do something like that for your kids. That's powerful stuff. I hope she gets a chance to go to a ballpark again at some point. This year, I don't know if that'll be the case in terms of fans. Will it be the case?
Oh, come on. It's right around the corner, Matt. You know, just I would say Monday, you know, again. I've been wrong on the date, you know, probably 5 or 6 times already.
Yeah.
But there's no choice. They have to have baseball. I mean, they can't sit on the sidelines. We just have way too much information about them negotiating this thing and being, you know, kind of, I mean, they do what they have to do. The information out there is unfortunate because every time somebody, you know, belches, you hear about, well, this side didn't like what the other side is negotiating. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what negotiations is all about, right? I mean, you know, you've had lawyers represent you in your contracts that you've had as a radio and media personality, and they don't always go very smoothly. But the negotiators handle that, and a lot of times it doesn't get down to you, the performer, because they don't want to upset you. Well, that's where the fans are at right now. We're at the level where we hear too much about what's not going right and not enough about, you know, them getting closer. I still think that the breakthrough was last week when Tony Clark and Rob Manfred sat down in Arizona and hammered out some ideas away from the lawyers, away from negotiators, away from the media, and actually got some things accomplished moving forward. Now it's just a matter of how many games they're going to play and whether it's going to be a healthy enough environment, which might be totally more essential to play ball and not have to stop.
I think that was indeed the breakthrough. And then the noise of the chatter and that we have a deal and no, we don't have a deal was such a negative and led to more negativity. But if you actually look at the press releases, what those guys were saying, there was positivity. But now it seems, do you think the owners are just going to go ahead and implement the 48, or do you think
it's a bad look, and from a lawyer's point of view, it's a bad move because you open yourself up to all kinds of lawsuits, and it's bad for the game. I think Manfred, I agree with, I mean, he is trying to protect the owners against lawsuits, let's be honest, and litigation. But in reality, they need a better look coming into the season than owners forcing players on the field for this many games. That's not a good look, okay? You know, the questions from the media right away for the first 2 weeks of that season is, you know, are you feeling okay about being out there? Do you feel like you were forced on the field? You know, and then all those answers. We just need the game to come back and both sides to agree. Okay, I think that's really important, and I think Manfred understands that as well.
Yeah, I think if they implement that 48, Bruce, they run the risk of not just it looking bad, but also players being really unhappy as they come back, and maybe they already will. But saying, you know what, I'm not going to show up. Like, good luck getting the health and safety stuff agreed upon if they're already grumpy about you just implementing a 48.
Yeah, and again, what you point out there is so essential. You know, where we see the spiking of, COVID cases in a lot of states, states that previously didn't have hardly any, uptick in those amounts. That's a little scary. I mean, everybody predicts, you know, that second round of the virus, the first round it has not gone away. So, hopefully people are protecting themselves and being smart about where they go and who they're around. But in reality, once baseball starts, there's going to be cases, and how that's dealt with by Major League Baseball, and more importantly, individual players. You know, let's just take this scenario. I mean, you have Team X that has three positive tests, and then they have to be shut down for 2 weeks. Then you're monitoring everyone they've come into contact with, and player 23, 24, 25 on your roster decides, hey, this is it. I'm going home. I'm not risking this any longer. Mm-hmm. You could have a mass amount of guys going, you know, this is just not worth it. So, I just caution people to look at the medical side and understand how essential that is to whether the games are going to be played or not. I think there'll be baseball, but, you know, for how long and how healthy the sport's going to be and any sport's going to be right now, that's the question for me.
Yeah, you know, it's where do things stand with that, Bruce? Because all MLB camps are shut down. Like, logistically, would it even be possible to flex back to the bubble idea and make something happen in Southern California? That's the latest little bit of rumor that I've heard.
No, probably not. The reality for, you know, players and families, you know, okay, 60 days, 75 days, isolated without each other. I mean, where do you find hotels, restaurants, services that are going to help isolate you and a large group, anywhere from 25 to 50 guys? It's not realistic. So, you know, unless everyone's willing to take this risk, and hopefully they will have, you know, the medical support to have them tested all the time, it's going to be a real challenge. I mean, everything else in our lives are really a challenge right now, going back to workplaces and workspaces with coworkers. That's not ideal in a lot of people's minds. A lot of people are concerned about that, worried about it, and rightfully so. So yeah. Baseball is no different right now.
No, it is not. Well, we pivot back because I love talking about baseball trivia with you. So can I throw a couple Father's Day items at you?
Absolutely, Matt. You know, I'll be happy to get these wrong.
I don't think you will. Only father and son to hit for the cycle. Only happened once in the 20th century.
Was it in the... Was it in the 70s and 80s, 80s
Dad,
and 90s?
Dad did it in September 1980 while playing for the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
And then the son did it in May of 2004 while playing for the Pirates. Son, I do believe, let me make sure, in terms of, he was later a Cub. He was a Cub in 2007, 2008. But he did it in the year 2000 while playing for the Pirates.
Okay. 2007, 8. Not Bellhorn, right?
Nope. Gary and Daryl.
Gary and Daryl.
Gary Ward and Daryl
Ward. Oh, Gary
Ward.
Yeah, very nice. That's a great one.
That's a deep one, really isn't it? Yeah,
right.
Father and son to hit for the cycle.
All right, Matt, only guy with 500 base hits of four different teams.
Ooh, boy. 500 hits with four different teams?
No one else. No one else in baseball history.
Fred McGriff?
No. It's a good guess. Really good. Think 70s, 80s, and into the, 70s, late 60s into the, into the 80s. Played 20 years.
Late 60s into the 80s. Oh,
fabulous
boy.
Cook. Fabulous chef. One of the great chefs of all time in baseball. Had his own restaurant.
Boog Powell.
Very close. Almost looks like him, but it is actually Rusty Staub.
Rusty Staub!
Very, very close. You had they're almost like twins. You know?
Boog probably didn't play for enough teams, but you said player chef, and I thought Boog Powell, maybe Manny Sanguian, doesn't he have a restaurant out there in Pittsburgh?
Le Grand Orange. So that's fun. We enjoy doing this. You know, before baseball games at Wrigley Field, Pat Hughes and myself and Ron Coomer and and JD and Lenny and you. Sometimes we sit down with Craig Lynch and we throw trivia questions every day. It's yes. part of it. Everybody has to come with one or two. It's actually you know, it's part of your job. If you don't show up with it, we ask you to move to another table.
Absolutely.
So it's a good time. And what's better than baseball trivia? It's
nothing. It's nothing. Bruce, thank you so much. Happy Father's Day to
you. Same to you, Matt. You're a great one. And look forward to seeing you again on Inside the Clubhouse next Saturday. We welcome you back.
Yes, sir. I'll be back for the next two. Looking All forward right. to it very much. Thanks, man.
Take care.
All right, that's Bruce Levine joining us right here on 670 The Score. Father's Day greetings and conversation with the archetypal baseball father of my youth. Coming up next on The Score, Lawrence Holmes in about 1 hour as well.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.